Would you find two locations in your Bible, Acts chapter 12, and then put a marker there, and then go over to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to continue to talk to you about pursue your miracle. Pursuing your miracle. Did you know that your miracle could just be an ear away? Your miracle could literally be simply one ear away. And here's what I mean by that. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." You could be an ear away from your miracle. In this series, Pursue Your Miracle, I'm talking to you about all kinds of miracles, whether it's a miracle of health or a miracle of finances or a miracle of relationship or the miracle of being restored as a whole person, a miracle of being restored emotionally and mentally, and where life has really beat you up or knocked you down, and you can have a miracle of being restored and refocused on life and walking in the hope and the power of God in everyday life. Today, I want to talk to you about receiving your miracle. And I'm going to give you some examples that have to do with provision, where God wants to provide for your everyday need, not just miraculous, a miraculous event that saves you from disaster, but God wants to provide miraculously every day for you. So I'm going to give you four stories or four different examples of these kind of provisions where God wants to do. And I want to cover these four stories. And basically, in these four stories, I want to talk to you about, number one, God uses natural things for your miracle. God will use, number two, what you have and turn it into a miracle. Number three, God will do what you cannot do, but he expects you to do what you can do. And number four, I want to show you that all miracles come from the cross. All miracles come from the cross, that you are not the one that produces the miracle. The miracle started at the cross of Jesus Christ. You know what? For us, we are living miracles. We are walking in the power and the presence of God, and God wants us to be miracles. So the first one that we're going to talk about is God uses natural things for your miracle, and we're going to read in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 17, it is a story about Elijah, and Elijah kind of messes with the king, with King Ahab, and Elijah is now going to declare that there's going to be a famine in the land, or there's going to be no rain, and the no rain is going to produce or cause a famine. So here's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite came over to Ahab and said to him, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" So here's what he says. It's not going to rain, guy. It's not going to rain. You're not going to see any rain. Then look what happens in verse 2. "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying." Then the word of the Lord came to him saying. I'm going to show you two seasons in Elijah's life, or two stories in his life that represent two seasons in people's lives. Whatever season of life you are in, you need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. "Then the Lord said," now here's what it said, "then the word of the Lord came to him saying." Now, Elijah is not declaring that God spoke from a cloud and all of a sudden he heard, "Hey, Elijah, I want you to go do this." But what he is declaring is that inside he knew what the will of the Lord was and what God wanted him to do. And you need to know what the will of the Lord is for you, and you need to know what God wants you to do. And here's what he says, verse 2. "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'Get away. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan.'" God told him to hide. Said, "I want you to go to the brook, Kerith." It's a brook. It's not a river. It's a brook that goes in and feeds the Jordan. Many brooks feed the Jordan. And the Jordan is a river. But here is a brook. He says, "Go to the brook." And he says, "I want you to hide there." And he goes, and then look what happens in verse 4. "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, And I have commanded, get that phrase, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and stayed by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So let's pause here for a moment. I want to talk to you about God will use natural things to produce your miracle. He's using natural things. He's using a brook and he's using ravens. Now get this. A lot of people look at this and they have all of their imagination get carried away in reading the story about these crows who are bringing them food. Now, would you say, here he is by the brook Kerith, he's drinking from the brook, getting water from the brook, and crows are bringing him, ravens are bringing him food in the morning and the evening. Would you say he's in the will of God? Yes. The answer is yes. He's in the will of God. He's in God's will. And being in the will of God, he's only eating twice a day. And guess what he's eating? He's eating meat brought to him by a raven. What kind of meat do they have? They're not bringing no roasted chicken. They're bringing roadkill. And what kind of bread are they bringing? We are talking about birds that were hanging out at Panera, picking up some of the meat that fell on the floor and some of the crumbs of the bread and flying to the prophet of God and dropping it at his feet so he can eat it. But he's in the will of God. Amen. And he's hiding in the will of God. God put him in a place to preserve him. Some of you are in a place in life right now where you're not eating all that well, but God is preserving you. Some of you are in a place where God has hidden you in your employment, hidden you in your place where you're supposed to be, hidden you in this season of life because he's preserving you for the right time of the next assignment. Some of you aren't eating all that great. He's only eating twice a day. He's eating roadkill and crumbs that are on the ground. And he's eating it and drinking some water, but he's in the will of God. And what I want you to know is that when you're in the will of God, it doesn't always mean that you're having steak. But it could mean for a season, things outwardly don't look like it's going all that well, but God is saying, I want you to hide here. And God has hidden some of you in certain places, in certain jobs, in certain occupations. Why? Because he's got you there for an assignment, for a day, for a point of time. But he's providing for you. He's providing for you. He's providing for you. The worst thing that you could do is when you have heard the word of the Lord and you took a job and the job is helping you survive. Not abundantly, but you're surviving. I do not call Elijah's season right here the abundant life. I would call this surviving. But he's told to hide. And some of us have to hide for a season in a place, in a time of our lives, because God is going to have a breakout moment. And guess what? I said, pay really close attention to this phrase where God says, I have commanded the ravens. Did you know when God commanded the ravens that Elijah didn't have to have any kind of conversation with the ravens at all? He didn't have to remind them. He didn't have to find a couple of ravens and, hey, where's my food? You were commanded by God to go get me some food. He just went, he had to go to the brook. He had to be at his season. He had to stop his life for that moment. And God says, right now, I am preserving you because I've got something else for you to do. But during this time, you're miraculously being preserved, being kept, making it. And what you don't want to do is during your time that God is having you hide or God is having you sustain, that you gripe. Why did I take this job? Why am I doing this? Why is it like this? I'm barely getting by. Because God might have something more for you, something greater for you. And it's a matter of hearing the command of the Lord. Well, we get to this last part. See, here is God is using natural things. He's using raven, roadkill, and breadcrumbs off the ground, and a brook. And Elijah is in the middle of the will of God. Using natural things to produce a miracle. Using your paycheck to produce a miracle. Using your influence and your gifts to produce a miracle. Using this moment to produce a miracle. Wherever you are, God is providing. And if you look at it that way, you are, every paycheck you get is a miracle, is a provision from God. I want to go to the second one. The second part is God will use what you have and turn it into a miracle. And I want to continue in the same chapter. Look at verse 7 again. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, and because there had been no rain. Okay, so now we get to the place where there's no more water. And look what happens in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, listen to what it says. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Exactly like the ravens. I have commanded the ravens. I have commanded a widow woman to provide for you. So now we continue the story. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he had came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and for my son, that we may eat it and die. My question to you is, how come the ravens knew the will of God, but the widow woman didn't? God said this, I have commanded the ravens to feed you, and they showed up. God said, I have commanded the widow woman to provide for you. Simply because you don't hear God's voice doesn't mean he hasn't spoken. Simply because you haven't heard doesn't mean he has not spoken. God spoke to the widow woman. But she didn't know. She didn't hear. Why? Because her dire situation was so impressed in her life, and she was so convinced that she was going to die, she could not hear God. There are times in our life where we are in need of a miracle, and God is commanding us to have our miracle, but we're not listening. We're not hearing. We don't hear what God is saying. God commanded the woman to feed the prophet. When he came to the gate of the city and he found the widow woman, he said to her, can I have a cup of water? And she should have said, I've been waiting for you. You're my miracle. I've been waiting for you. Get on over here. I got some flour and oil that's been commanded by God to not stop. Get over into my house. She didn't do any of that. She wasn't excited to see him. She wasn't happy. She was dying. I mean, here's her attitude. She was, I'm at the gate of the city picking up sticks, going to start a fire. Got a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. That's all we got. We're going to do it. My son and I are going to have our last supper. Then we're going to sit and wait to die. And some of us are living our life like the widow woman. What I would like you to see in this miracle, God will use what you have and turn it into a miracle. I would like you to see that two people need each other to produce this miracle. The prophet needed the widow woman. The widow woman needed the prophet. And God is the one involved in making a miracle take place. I want you to realize if God wants to help this widow woman, he wants to help you. If he's going to help this lady, he's going to help you. And look what takes place in this. Verse 12, so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. The best thing he could have said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear overwhelmed her from hearing the voice of God. When you are in life situations that are overwhelming, and every one of us have been there, we have been in life situations that are overwhelming, relationship situations that are overwhelming, employment situations that are overwhelming, financial situations that are overwhelming. When we are so afraid of the situation, we could be plugging our ears with spiritual earwax, not being able to hear from God. God wants you to be able to hear from him all the time. He wants you to listen. When you are in need of a miracle, your ears need to be fully cleaned out. They need to be keen in listening. The purpose of fasting at the time of a need of a miracle is not to bend God's arm to make him give you a miracle. It's to help you hear better. The purpose of prayer, dear, in the time where you need a miracle, is to help you hear better and get instruction and get direction from God. That you are going to hear what God has for you. It's communing with God. It's reminding what God has done for you. It is declaring that God is great. And the worship, dear, in the time of the need of a miracle, is not to get God to do a miracle because I'm worshiping him. It is to help me realize God is the miracle working God. And he's the one that will do the miracle. So the story continues with this. And Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now he gives the command of the Lord. All of a sudden, he's got what we would call a word of knowledge, a spoken word that produces a miracle. And he says, thus says the word of the Lord, the God of Israel. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Listen to me. She had flour, she had oil, and God used it. Not just to sustain her, not just to give her some kind of life, not just to give her some bread to eat at that moment, but she now has a bakery. It's not going to dry up until it rains again. Pumping out the bread. Let's sell it to the neighbors. Let's trade it for some vegetables. Let's find someone. Let's get several loaves of bread and trade it for a chicken. She now has a lifestyle during this season of no rain by using what she's got. There's so many of us when we are in the need of a miracle, what we are expecting that we consider a miracle is when all of a sudden there is this loud explosion and the heavens open and there's a bright light and all of a sudden, pow, drop down at my feet the numbers of the lottery. We think of when we are in the need of a miracle, we can't envision ourselves doing anything to make it happen. She had to bake the bread. She had to put the flour and the oil together. She had to make that very, very first step and make that last cake and tear. He didn't ask for all of it. He just says, give me a piece. She makes that last cake and tears off a piece and gives it to him. Gives it to him in faith, gives it to him because she believes the word of the Lord, gives it to him because she believes that God is a miracle working God, gives it to him because she's following the voice of God. She's awakening to what God wants to do and that she is now in charge. Her faith is charged. And now what she's doing is she's now moving forward. And now she's got something she can turn into a miracle. Some of us, when we are in need of a miracle, we don't look around our house. We don't think about when we are in the need of a financial miracle. We don't think about selling something. We think about, why doesn't God just give me more stuff? I don't know why this went through my mind just now. I mean, it just has nothing to do with this except finances. And I thought I'll throw it out. Maybe it's for you. Why do people say, I can't afford to tithe, but they have in their hand an $800 cell phone? That just shot through my brain. Somebody needed it to be, who knows? Now let's get back to the miracle. Here's what we think. When we have this need of a financial miracle, a lot of times, is that God will just give us money, not knowing. You may already have something that you can market, that you could work, that you could do, and you become a miracle. This woman had flour and oil, and she started to use it. And she is a living miracle. What do you have that you can use? What do you have that you can make into a money stream of income? What is it? What else do you have? Is God using something? Is your miracle sitting at home? Is your financial miracle in your garage? Do you already have the essential flour and oil for your life so God can turn it into a miracle? But when we are so afraid, when we are so wrapped up in fear, when we're so wrapped up in our own need that we don't even hear the voice of God, I have commanded the widow woman to feed you. She was not aware of it because she didn't hear it. Ravens heard it, widow woman didn't. Ravens did it, widow woman finally did it after she was told. So you are being told what's available to you that you can turn into your financial miracle. The next one I want to do, let's go to Acts chapter 12. God will do what you cannot do, but expects you to do what you can do. In Acts chapter 12, let me tell you the story. You think it was written today. In Acts chapter 12, we have the story of Peter. And this is the trouble when you have a brand new Bible. Everything sticks. And you try to turn two pages, you can turn 50. Acts chapter 12, here's what it says. Beginning at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. Let me tell you what happened. Herod found a political hot topic and kept pressing it. Just decided he's going to press it. Just keep using it because it's a political hot topic. And if he will be on this side of that political hot topic, he's in the good eyes of the people. It's like what's happening today. All kinds of things are happening today. One of the things, I'm not going to get into that. Too emotional. But what is politically hot? And let's talk against it or talk for it. And whatever's politically hot, whatever everybody wants to talk about, you know, you find out what the larger group of people are saying or what the louder mouths are saying, and let's talk about it. That's exactly what Herod was doing. Herod really didn't care about the church, but he found out if he persecuted the church, he became more popular in town. So let's go persecute the church. Let's go find Peter. And he arrests Peter and he puts Peter in prison. And he's now going to kill Peter just because he wants to be popular. Not because he cares about the people of the city or the church. And then look what happens. Here's what takes place. Verse 4. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover, which means he's going to execute him when the Passover is over. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Here is a great need. Peter is in prison. The church has gone into prayer, and they've got a regular round-the-clock prayer team happening. And they are interceding for Peter. They're praying for Peter's release. They're praying for Peter's protection. And look what happens from their prayers. It says, now when Herod was about to bring him out, I could use a tiny bit more light somewhere. I'm like reading my Bible like this, you know. It says, now when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was let me start over. Oh, thank you. That makes a big difference. It says, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains before two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Okay, so let's get the picture. Peter is going to get executed the next day, and he's asleep. He's laying on the ground, asleep. And, I mean, think about this. He's got one arm chained to one soldier, another arm chained to another soldier, and you're able to go to sleep? First of all, they're going to kill you tomorrow, and you're able to go to sleep? Even worse, that you're chained to two guards, and you're going to go to sleep? Now, the guards fall asleep, and Peter is sleeping. He's actually asleep. That's pretty amazing, actually. It says, verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell from his hands. So the angel walks over to Peter, kicks him. Wake up, Peter. And Peter wakes up, looks, and he helps, gets him up. Chains are there. As he's getting him up, the chains just fall off. Okay, so the chains fall off. Verse 8, then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. He even took his shoes off, loosened up his belt, got his outer garments off. I mean, Peter, lay down, I'm going to sleep. But here's what takes place. Then the angel said to him again, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. So he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him. And he did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And then Peter had come to himself and said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel, and he has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered there to pray. And the story goes on, but here's the part I want you to get. Peter's laying down, an angel comes, an angel kicks him and wakes him up. Angel helps him get up, and as he's getting up, the chains fall down. Guards never wake up. They walk through the first opening, not a gate, it's an opening. But on the other side of the opening are two more guards. They just walk right past the two guards. They come to another opening, and they walk right past to those two guards. They come to a gate that's locked, and the gate opens all by itself, and Peter walks out. I want you to know that the angel opened the gate. The angel blinded the eyes of the guards. The angel did not put Peter's shoes on. The angel did not put Peter's robe on. The angel did not tighten up his belt. Peter tightened up his belt. Peter put his robe on. Peter put his sandals on. Peter did what Peter can do. God did what Peter cannot do. And so many times we're looking for God to do everything. And God is saying that you need to do what you can do. He will do what you can't do. And you need to realize that your miracle is, like I said, an ear away. Maybe it's just hearing the voice of the Lord God to be at the right place at the right time. Maybe it's God giving you a word that shares that causes your faith to charge up and to get stronger. Maybe it's a matter of you just getting up out of that situation and walking. And you're not even sure where you're walking. But God may say, like I talked about, Elijah was hidden at the brook. And maybe God's got you hidden at a job, and God's trying to get you to another job, and God's trying to get you to another blessing. But you're not hearing his voice. You're not here. It's time to leave. So what happens is they fire you, or the company goes down, under, broke. Why? Because God's trying to get you somewhere. He's trying to get you somewhere else. We need to be listening all the time to the voice of God. We need to do what we can do. We need to put our own coat on. We need to put our own shoes on. We need to put our own belt on and let God open the gate. Let God blind the enemy. Let God deliver you. And your miracle is simply a matter of following God. What direction? God will do what you cannot do, but he expects you to do what you can do. He expects you to do. He expects you to get up in the morning and face this day and go into the day and start the day and start your journey and keep on going and make your job work, make your business work, move forward, keep on going, do the next thing, do the next thing, do the next thing. God expects you to do what you can do. God expects you to do what you can do. Our daughter, Elizabeth, she works for a giant, I'll call it a medical company. They make heart valves and they make heart things. It's an international company. She works in the HR department, and she's on a career path that is just absolutely excellent and that's going to cause her to continue to go forward. And in her, the company that she works for is this massive company that has, they have an office here in Irvine, they have another one in France, another one in Prague, and they make heart valves and other stuff for heart surgery and other things like that. She's in one of the HR departments, as I said, but she was working for another company before this company. And the company she was working for, she hated. She was basically Elijah by the brook. She was getting by. And she knew that there was a better job for her. And she knew that she had a better opportunity. And there was something better, and God had something for her. So what she did is when she went to work every day, did her job, then went home, and she started hunting for a job. She made hunting for a job her second job. She's put out her resume in over 400 places. Ended up with this job that is like golden. Her benefits are incredible. You know, her career path is incredible. Her ability to go further into the company is very, very incredible. She's now away from the brook. She's over at another location in her season of life, being developed. And if she, as she continues to do that with her education and other things, she's unlimited on how far she can go in the company. But she was eating twice a day meat given to her by ravens, basically roadkill, but kept going to that job. Kept doing that work, but kept looking for the next one. And some people would have quit after putting their resume out 50 times. She didn't after 50. She didn't after 75. She didn't after 100. She kept on going and hit 200 resumes sent out. Phone interviews, job interviews that didn't work, and just kept on going. You know, for some reason, the church is darker today, and I can't even see the clock. I want to get to this last one, and we'll go through it very quickly. And I think I can do it in the appropriate... No, you're good. You be there means I have 5 minutes. All miracles come from the cross. I'm going to tell you a miracle that's in the Bible that just baffled me. I literally, after reading it, you know, 60, 70 times, said to God, why did you even record this? What is it for? And it's a story in Elijah's life. Elijah is the guy who took over when Elijah left. Elijah is the prophet that we just talked about by the brook and the widow woman. And then later he leaves and his student, Elijah, takes his place. Well, Elijah's, he's overseeing the school of the prophets. And the school of the prophets gets a little large, and now what has to happen, they need to go and make a new school. The camp is too small, and they go over here by the Jordan River, and they start going, and they start building. So Elijah agrees, and they all go to the Jordan. They start cutting down trees. They're cutting down trees, cutting down trees, cutting down trees to build a new school and a new camp. So here's what happens. We're in the middle of it. Guy's chopping down a tree. He says, but as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it is borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off, or lit in parentheses, I put parentheses down, because the Hebrew doesn't say off. It literally means he cut it down. He cut down, it says, a stick in the New King James. And threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Okay, think about this. These students are by the Jordan River, and they're cutting trees down, and the axe head falls off the handle, goes into the Jordan, and sinks, and it's gone. Elijah walks over there and says, show me where it was. He sees, he says, right there. Elijah goes over and cuts, and it says that he cuts down a stick. The word stick is really not correct, because the Hebrew word for stick could mean tree, could mean wood, could be a plank, could be a lot of things. But he cuts something down and he throws it in the water, and the axe head floats. And the guy says, get it for yourself, pick it up. And he goes and picks it up. End of story. Why? Why is it in the Bible? Is it just to show us, like show off Elijah? Why? I literally said, why? I did. I went, why? I don't get it. And I read it many, 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 many times, and I could find a connection. So I want you to see. I want you to get something, because we're going to wrap this up. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, and he threw it in the water, and it floated. And then he said to the man, pick it up. First of all, the man that lost the axe head, it was a borrowed axe. And he had no way of paying it back. But the axe had floated on the water, and he said, pick it up for yourself. And he reached out, and he took it. Hold on. The book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 24 through 26. Story about Moses and the people of Israel. And the people complained against Moses, what shall we drink? And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And here's the story that I forgot to give you before I got to this Bible verse. The people of Israel, under the leadership of Moses, came to a place, and there was no clean water. It was just bitter water. The water was poisonous. And the people complained against Moses, and they wanted to kill him. He said, what are we going to drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Same word for stick. Exact same Greek word. I mean Hebrew word. Same Hebrew word. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Then he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And then it says in verse 14, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. The phrase, I am the Lord who heals you, comes from an event where Moses threw a tree in the water and made the water clean. And the same Hebrew word is used for this tree that Elijah throws in the water and makes the axe head float, or the iron float to the top. So what is all that referring to? Well, the Bible says in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that anyone who's hung on the tree is cursed. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Jesus Christ bore the curse of the law on the tree. He died on a tree. The tree thrown into the water is a type of Jesus Christ. The axe head floating up to the top of it is God delivering. What was borrowed is now paid for. Your life was borrowed, but is now paid for. And that axe head that floated to the top, a miraculous axe head floating, iron floating. And the prophet tells him, no, you get it yourself. Reach in. And he has to reach in and grab it. And what I'm saying is, you have to reach in and grab your miracle. Now, what it also says is right here, if you will diligently hear the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight and give ears to his commandment. Okay, if you understand that the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament is the real thing, the Old Testament is a shadow. So if this is the shadow, I have to be able to define the shadow by going to the New Testament and define what it just said. So what does it say in the New Testament? It says, if you will diligently hear the heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight. What is right in the sight of God in the New Testament? What is right in the sight of God is that you believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. It is that you believe that grace has already provided it. It is that you believe that God is the one that is your miracle. Doing what is right in the sight of God is not giving up on God. It's not giving up on the grace of God. It's not giving up on the cross. It is the cross where all miracles come. It is the cross that makes the iron float. It's the cross that makes the poison water sweet. It is the cross that heals your body. But you have to reach in and grab it yourself. You've got to grab it. And the way you grab it, the reason you grab it, is you grab it by faith and grace has provided it. Grace has provided your healing. Grace has provided your miracle. Grace has provided your provision. And the way it is all done is by you believing. You diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. The voice of the Lord your God is, it is finished. Jesus Christ bore your sickness. That is the voice of the Lord your God. The voice and the command is to love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. Love one another. The command that God is declaring is find out who you are because of the cross of Jesus Christ. That God has now lifted you up out of the muddy water of the Jordan. God has purified you from poison to sweet. And it's all done by the cross. Every miracle comes from the cross. And if I'm going to do that which is right in the sight of God, is I am going to live by faith in the grace of God. I'm going to believe what God has declared in his word. I am going to accept his word as truth. And I'm going to accept what he did for me in Jesus on the cross. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand?